Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, California healthcare workers who willfully and repeatedly decline to use a senior citizen transgender patient's preferred name or pronoun could face punishments ranging from a fine to jail time under a newly signed law. California Governor Jerry Brown signed the legislation last week. The sponsor of the law, who is Democratic State Senator Scott Wiener, has argued adamantly that nobody's going to be criminally prosecuted for using the wrong pronoun. In fact, here's what he said. It's just more scare tactics by people who oppose all LGBT civil rights and protections. Really? Is that all it is? Because the language of the bill seemingly allows for both a fine and jail time. Well, friends, with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. I am Dave Kistler. I'm joined today by Dr. Gary Dahl. So there's a possible criminal penalty for basic sanity. What do I mean by that? Well, we're going to delve into that here momentarily on Standing in the Gap today. We're thrilled that you've chosen to join us today. Here's what the law's language says specifically, and I'm quoting. It shall be unlawful for a long-term care facility or facility staff member to take any of the following actions wholly or partially on the basis of a person's actual or perceived sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, or human immunodeficiency virus HIV status. Among the unlawful acts are willful and repeatedly failing to use a transgender person's preferred name or pronouns after he or she is clearly informed of the preferred name or pronoun. The law states that if provisions are violated, the violator could be punished by a fine not to exceed $1,000 or by imprisonment in the county jail for a period not to exceed 1 year or both. So, Gary, let me make sure I understand this correctly. It's fine to believe in freedom of expression if that freedom of expression involves taking a knee at a football game, but it's not fine to believe in the same freedom of speech when it comes to words, such as the use of pronouns. So, Gary, where does all this end?
Stupidity. I tell you, Dave, that's what it is, you know. Yes, and I'm Ben Roethlisberger, too, by the way, in the event that you want to know. Don't call me Gary from now on. Just call me Ben. Double standard? Is that the way? Hypocrisy? Would that be another word that you want to use? You know, the human race, David, has just gone off the deep end, particularly these kind of folk. You know, the Bible teaches this in Romans chapter 1, that when we take God out of the picture, we can't even think straight. And that's what's going on right here. You know, it's high time that people begin to think logically, begin to think properly, because a thought process like this, obviously, Dave, is just going to lead to further corruption, further sinfulness, and that's going to bring further destruction upon our country. It's the whole concept of forgetting God, forgetting how God made man and woman, forgetting that God made male and female, and they're to be left that way. And I think of Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, David, that clearly says that when a nation forgets God, God is going to bring judgment upon that nation. And David, that's exactly where I believe that we are headed. And this is just an illustration of that. We need to pray in America like we've never prayed before. We need to preach the word of God like never before. And we need to stand for the truth of God like never before.
Well, Gary, I couldn't agree with you more. All of those things are true. I'm just thinking from a very practical standpoint. I'm 58 years of age. Let's say as I get older and if I have to spend some time, heaven forbid, in a senior citizen retirement center and I don't have my full wits about me and all of a sudden one day I wake up perceiving myself or thinking myself to be Arnold Schwarzenegger or Walt Disney or, for goodness sake, Mickey Mouse, for that matter. I guess if I tell someone I want to be called Mickey Mouse, and someone that's caring for me at that senior citizen facility does not call me Mickey Mouse, according to the California law, they would be susceptible to a fine or incarceration. because he wouldn't call me Mickey. Now, Gary, that's insanity. Let me get a little more serious here and just say this. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution says this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech, doing nothing to shorten or limit the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So, Gary, if a governmental entity cannot do anything to abridge freedom of speech, how is it possible that the California legislature can pass and the governor can sign a piece of legislation that dictates people's speech? I'm talking about the healthcare workers telling them you have to call a patient by this pronoun. Gary, that is an egregious violation of the First Amendment, is it not?
Well, it is, but remember the state from whence it comes, California, and remember the governor that signed that piece of legislation, Jerry Brown. Both California and Jerry Brown is lost out in the Pacific Ocean somewhere. You know, just talk to David New, who has connections out there in California. He will tell us that on the first-person basis. He's experienced it. I wonder where, how can I express this properly? Where does the freedom of speech and fake news run together, Dave? Where does the freedom of speech and changing a person's gender run together? I mean, you know, I think that the freedom of speech really ought to stand on the concept of truth and facts, don't you? Now, I realize that a person can get out there and say anything that they want, with exception of crying fire in a theater or something along that particular line. But, you know, what we are seeing taking place in the United States of America today is absolutely ridiculous. You know, you're male, you're female, whatever you want to be called, I guess you can call yourself that, but it's just getting so far away from truth and reality. It brings great concern upon me.
Well, Gary, here's the thing. The same governor, Jerry Brown, also just reduced the penalty for someone who's HIV positive if they fail up until this point, if they failed to inform their partner or state to their partner, hey, I'm a carrier of HIV. And if they were engaged in sexual activity with that person and passed the virus on to them, there was a criminal penalty for that. Well, Jerry Brown has reduced and taken that away, so you cannot suffer a criminal penalty for infecting someone with HIV, but now you can suffer criminal penalty and jail time for using the wrong pronoun. Can this get any crazier?
No, it goes back to the word stupid, and I don't like to use that word stupid. I don't even like the way that it sounds, but it is stupidity, and it goes back to the whole concept that we've taken God out of the picture, or a lot of people have, and when you take God out of the picture, there is no moral guidance in your thought process. That's where Jerry Brown and California is today, unfortunately.
Friends, I will say this. Gary Dull is exactly right. When you eliminate God's truth, you're open to all kinds of things that border on insanity. And that's really where we are in America, certainly this in California. Well, when we come back, the American flag flap and the anthem flap just simply will not go away. And now ESPN is right in the middle of it. What's that about? Stay tuned following this brief timeout, and you're going to learn about all of that.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
So in California, friends, if you use the wrong pronoun to refer to a senior citizen who is in a senior citizen assisted living facility, calling them by a male pronoun when they want to be called by a female pronoun, you can, according to Governor Jerry Brown, you can possibly serve jail time in a county jail and suffer a fine not to exceed $1,000. Yet, this past Friday, that same governor, California Governor Jerry Brown, signed a bill that lowers from a felony to a misdemeanor the crime of knowingly, and that's the operative word, knowingly exposing a sexual partner to HIV without disclosing the infection. And the measure that Governor Brown signed also applies, listen to this, to those who give blood without telling that the blood bank that they give the blood to, without telling them that they are HIV positive. Now, here is the governor's statement. I want you to listen to it very, very carefully. He said, "Today, California took a major step toward treating HIV as a public health issue instead of treating people living with HIV as criminals." Now, Gary, here's my concern about this statement. We talked to David New last week, and he drew a distinction when we were talking about the greatest lie ever told with respect to the U.S. Constitution. He said there's a difference in calling someone a liar and someone committing an act of lying. And he said those that have been telling falsehoods about the Constitution are not necessarily liars. Their whole lifestyle, they're not habitual liars. But they have committed a lie with that one thing that they were communicating that was inaccurate. What the governor of California is saying is if someone has HIV, they don't tell their partner about it, or they give blood at a blood bank and don't inform the blood bank that they're HIV positive. The way the law has been written and the way the law has been prosecuted up to this point is treating those with HIV as criminals. Well, Gary, we know that they may not be criminals, but it is and should be deemed a criminal act if you know you have a deadly virus and you purposefully infect someone or you allow someone to be infected without telling them you are a carrier of that, whether it's through sexual intimacy or whether it's through donating blood. If you know you have a problem that's going to kill someone else and you purposefully do not tell them, that is a criminal act. But now that is no longer a felony in the state of California. Gary, again, help me understand, what in the world is the governor of California thinking?
Well, there again, you know, let's take into consideration, it's California, very, very much liberal thinking, and Jerry Brown, very much a very liberal governor. But I think that what concerns me even greater about this, Dave, is that it shows a very high lack of respect for life and for others. You know, there have been people who have been prosecuted simply because of the fact that they passed on some sort of a HIV or whatever the case may be to another individual. And though they knew they had it, they still did not inform their sex partner, whatever the case may be. And it was passed on and they've been prosecuted for it. And they should be prosecuted for it. Anytime you knowingly bring harm upon an individual in a case like that, you need to be held accountable for it. But what's taking place today, David, again, is the idea, as we've said so many times on this particular program, that the truth has fallen in the streets. Today in the United States of America, in the thought of many people, there is no such thing as absolute truth. And so when there is no such thing as absolute truth, then almost anything can go. Even the lack of respect for other people in order to get one's own way, even to the point of giving somebody a disease that could kill them, you know, as long as I get my pleasure out of it. David, we are living in a very self-centered and lawless society. And again, it comes back, as we talk about this, I come back to the pulpit. You know, the Bible tells us that the church is the pillar and the ground of the, what, truth, and that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. And every time I see something like this that we're talking about with Jerry Brown and California and liberal thinking and acts of lawlessness and thinking that is totally void of truth, I'm reminded of how very significant it is for you and me and every Christian, number one, on the face of the earth, to represent Christ. The Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are to represent Christ and all that he stands for. And of course, he stands for truth. He stands for morality. He stands for that which is biblically correct. But secondly, it reminds me, and we talk about this many times on this program, Dave, how pastors must preach all of the Word of God without compromise, the whole counsel of God. We must evangelize. We must lead people to Christ. And if we are going to see any kind of deterrent in this falling away from truth, in this falling away from biblical accuracy, we need to get out the Word of God. We need to lead people to Christ. We need to preach the truth of God. And I think it's just a call for the pulpits to become hot and on fire for the message of the gospel more and more. And that's what I think of, Brother Dave, every time I read or hear something like this.
Well, Gary, for Jerry Brown to imply that if someone willingly infects someone else with a deadly virus, to him to imply that we perceive them as being criminals is totally inaccurate. And I think that's where he and those on the left want to take the conversation, that you're implying that everybody's a criminal. No, we're saying that someone committing that act, the act itself is criminal, and that's what needs to be punished. We're not saying they are a criminal themselves. We are saying in this incident, though, they've committed a criminal act and they're worthy of some kind of punishment.
But don't you think that there's a fine line of distinction between the two?
Oh, I do, Gary. I do. You know, it's like, again, using the illustration David New used last week, calling someone a liar versus saying they're lying in this one instance. And that's what we're saying. This is a criminal act. It doesn't mean that the person's entire lifestyle is that of being a criminal. It means this one act of refusing to let somebody know that you are carrying a deadly disease and then you're infecting them with that disease, that in and of itself is a criminal act. And Gary, of course, you know, many times while we're on air, we get texts sent to us. And I just had a very interesting text sent to me that stated, you know, the cost per month for someone who has HIV, if they take the best medications, is around $4,800 a month. And this is a great question. This is part of the reason why we're bringing this up. The question that was asked is this: who then pays that amount of money for someone in the general public without their knowledge being infected with the HIV virus? Well, the answer is the American taxpayer pays for it.
That's right.
And yet, that the act, the criminal act of infecting someone else in California, is no longer a felony offense. It's a misdemeanor. And yet all of these negative repercussions, not only the health of an individual who's infected, but the incredible cost levied now against the taxpayers of California, all of that factors in. And Governor Brown sees no problem with that. It's not a felony. It's okay. Gary, again, what in the world is this man thinking?
Well, I don't know. You know, I remember Jerry Brown 30, 35 years ago, and he was very much a liberal thinker then, and he's just only gotten worse ever since. And, you know, when you talk about a misdemeanor, that's sort of like, oops, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to do that sort of a thing. A felony is when you do something that really brings serious harm upon a person, a place, an institution, whatever the case may be. A person who knowingly passes on HIV to a sex partner could be contributing to their death. Why in the world is that now going to be referred to as a misdemeanor? You understand what I'm saying? It makes no sense, David. And it's just the whole concept that that kind of thought is anti-God, anti-truth, anti-humane, and just downright, going back to my word, stupid. I can't add anything to it. It's ridiculous. The sad part of it is that is coming out of a section of our country. You've got Oakland. You've got Berkeley out there in Oakland, California, and very liberal universities. And what they say, you've heard it before, what takes place in California does come east in time. And that's something that concerns me greatly. We need to stand for truth.
Well, in one sense, ladies and gentlemen, should we be surprised that the same culture that has denigrated and demeaned and lessened life in the womb, should we be surprised in one sense that the governor of one of the largest states in the country, one of the most liberal states in the country, now deems human life, those infected purposefully with a virus, a deadly virus, by a carrier who does not inform the partner or donates blood and does not inform the blood bank, should we be surprised that this is no longer deemed to be something serious because culture at large has so denigrated and demeaned life? And friends, as Gary said so clearly, it goes back to the pulpits of America, the pastors of which Gary and I are. We are preachers, places a heavy responsibility on us, but it also places a responsibility on our political leaders in this country to understand the sacredness and the sanctity of certain things, life being chief among those. And there should be a penalty when someone inflicts another individual with a disease that ultimately is going to take their life. Well, friends, when we come back, ESPN is right in the middle of the anthem controversy, as is now America's team and the team's owner. What is going on? Well, friends, it's all part of this flag anthem flap that is going on across America, and it's gone one level higher now as a result of what's taking place in Dallas, Texas. We're going to be talking about that and a whole lot more after this very brief timeout.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, I don't know where David Kistler is. He must have gone fishing. I'm not so sure. I don't know if we lost his connection or whatever. He and I are talking by way of text, but for some reason, he is not able to communicate. I do not know why that's the case. But nevertheless, I am here. You are there. And we will wait for Dave to come back. And until he does,
Gary,
show
I am
up,
here, my friend.
Oh, okay. I was just going to share with our people that joined by text. So I will yield to you or share joined by text. What would you like for me to do, my dear friend?
I tell you what, Brother Gary, why don't you go ahead and share about how they can listen, stay attuned to everything that's going on at Stand in the Gap Today via this joined by text opportunity.
All right. Well, we've been talking about this a couple of times a week over the past several weeks, ladies and gentlemen. The point is, if you would like to join our network, be alerted of upcoming events and promotions, or receive more information about the American Pastors Network, simply text the word STAND to 44144. STAND, S-T-A-N-D, you know, like standing for the national anthem? STAND, S-T-A-N-D, to 44144. When you do that, you will receive a text reply asking for your email address. And once you reply with your email, then you will receive another immediate text replying with links to download our APN app from the Apple Store or from Google Play. And then once you download that, there will be a sign that comes up that says sign up. And of course, you can click on that, and right away you can begin to receive our various updates. And I'd encourage you to do that because we send things out on a regular basis, including letting you know in advance what's actually going to be taking place on upcoming radio broadcasts and programs. So it's called Join by Text. All you need to do is text in the word STAND, S-T-A-N-D, to 44144, and you're on your way. David.
Gary, thank you so very much. Well, friends, Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, as you well know, issued an edict on Sunday. And in essence, he said this: if you take a knee, then you're going to take a seat. If you don't stand, you will sit. And of course, all that came amid backlash because players have begun taking a knee this year during the national anthem. Here is what Jones said. We talked about this earlier in the week, but he said this: I know this, we cannot in the NFL in any way give the implication that we tolerate disrespecting the flag. We know that there is a serious debate in this country about those issues, but there is no question in my mind that the National Football League and the Dallas Cowboys are going to stand up for the flag. So we are clear. Well, what's happened is Jamil Hill, who is an ESPN host and a very outspoken liberal, tweeted after Jones made that statement on Sunday. She tweeted that Jones has created a problem for his players, specifically the black ones, and that's her words, not mine. If they don't kneel, some will see them as sellouts. Well, as you know, if you're watching anything this year with respect to ESPN and professional football, you'll know that Jamil Hill has already gotten herself into hot water because she called Trump a white supremacist. And, of course, ESPN did not do anything to punish her for that. But then on Sunday, she urged paying customers, that's the term she used, to boycott advertisers if they don't agree with Jones's comments. Hill quoted a list of Dallas Cowboys advertisers in one of her tweets, which included AT&T, Bank of America, Dr. Pepper, Snapple, Ford Motor Company, Miller Coors, Pepsi. And she sent a message to her 760,000 plus Twitter followers. And here's what she said: change happens when advertisers are impacted. If you strongly reject what Jerry Jones said, the key is his advertisers. Well, as a result of that, she has been suspended from ESPN for 2 weeks. And in fact, friends, it may be longer than that, but at least 2 weeks she is off air because of what she's done. So, Gary, I believe that Jamil Hill has a right to say what she wants. I mean, she can call Donald Trump Donald Duck if she wants to. But ESPN also has the right to do what's best for its network. And if that means suspending or even firing her, that is within their rights. I'd love to have your thoughts about that.
Well, we've gone from Mickey Mouse to Donald Duck on this program, David.
And you caught that, didn't you?
I did, but, and I'm sure that many of our listeners have as well. Well, yes, ESPN has the right not only to suspend, but to fire her. I mean, you know, it's just like Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones owns the Dallas Cowboys. He has the right to tell his players, his employees, to stand up for the national anthem. He has that right. And every one of his players have the responsibility to take heed to what Jerry Jones says. If indeed they don't stand up, then Jerry Jones, who owns them in this case, has the right to fire them. And I'm glad that Jerry Jones is taking that stand. But a couple of things that I want to say with regard to this. Number one, according to Jamil Hill with ESPN, Jerry Jones is actually pointing his finger at black football players. Nowhere in Jerry Jones' statement does he identify a person's race. He is simply talking about those on the Dallas Cowboys who do not stand for the national anthem, whether they be black or white or whatever the color they may be. And so what Jamil Hill is doing is presenting fake news by, including this in her own personal comments. I think that even at that point, she should be reprimanded. But then secondly, Dave, I really hope and pray that the NFL goes along with Jerry Jones. In the statement that you read, he says, I know this, we cannot in the NFL in any way give the implication that we tolerate disrespecting the flag. And then he says, in my mind, the NFL in the National Football League and the Dallas Cowboys, we're going to stand up for the flag. So we are clear. I hope that he's not only speaking for the Dallas Cowboys, which he is, but I hope he's also speaking for the NFL, simply because of the fact that the NFL, in not taking a strong stand up to this point, has brought disgrace to their name. And that's why I don't watch NFL like I used to. And that's why across the country, the NFL is losing viewers and listeners on their radio and television programs, and fewer people are going into the stands. We still, in this nation, Dave, have a lot of people who are patriots, not New England Patriots, as it were, but patriotic. And, you know, if the NFL doesn't get this thing straightened up, they're in trouble. You know, the other thing is, the NFL is in trouble anyway because of the people who are coming along and saying, well, you shouldn't play football because it may be harmful to your health. And here in Pennsylvania, I don't know what it's like where you live, but here in Pennsylvania, there are a lot of high schools, I should say school systems, that are having a hard time getting people to play football because as they go down through the junior high and elementary levels, parents don't want their children to play football for the fear of concussions and whatever the case may be. I think if a person wants to play football, let them play football. So, you know, whether it's because of the fact that fewer people in years to come are not going to be playing football, or if it's the case that the NFL is not going to take a strong stand for our national anthem, the NFL is in big trouble. I think they need to get their Donald Ducks in order, Dave.
Well, Gary, here's one other thing that I want to bring up. And friends, this is an argument that is being made across the country. There are some that are saying and seeing no difference between what's happening to Jemele Hill because of her comments about, you know, Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys and encouraging people to protest, you know, those that are sponsoring or advertising during their games. They see no difference between that and what's happening with the healthcare workers in California. In other words, Jemele Hill is being punished because of her comments. Healthcare workers that don't use the politically correct pronoun, they're being punished and should be as well. But there's really a huge difference here. California has passed a law, legislation making politically incorrect speech punishable legally. Hill is not being punished by some legislation. She is suffering the consequences of her employer saying what you're saying on air, what you're calling for, punish the Dallas Cowboys is inappropriate for you as an employee of ESPN. That's fine. A business has the right to fire anybody. I'm against profanity, okay? And I think a business, be it Walmart, Sears, you know, whoever, can fire someone if they repeatedly use profanity. But there should not be a law passed that says you should lose your job if you use profanity. Leave that up to the business itself. And ESPN right. is a business, Gary, and they're taking an action against Jemele Hill that's totally appropriate. What the state of California is doing is inappropriate, and I'll say unconstitutional, because they're enacting legislation to punish people who use speech that they deem to be politically incorrect. There is a huge difference here, is there not?
Well, there is, and as you were talking there, David, and I know we're about out of time here, but I wonder how much of this can be traced back to 1973 when the Supreme Court legalized abortion. In other words, it created a law that was against that which is naturally true. And that's, of course, is what's going on here with these healthcare workers out in California. If you understand what I'm saying, that when taking a person's life in the womb became legal, that began a trend to turn anything that is naturally correct into that which is unnatural, and even calling it a crime and being fined for it. I think we're on the wrong trend here in the United States of America, and that trend needs to be reversed.
Well, we're at a place, definitely, the Bible says we will get to in the last days, where good is called evil, evil is called good. We could talk a lot more about this. But friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to look deeply into the life of Stephen Paddock. A lot of new information out there.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare? Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information. As Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, he was a nocturnal creature who gambled all night and slept all day. He took Valium at times for anxiousness and had the doctor who prescribed the Valium to him on retainer. He wagered up to $1 million a night and wandered around the glitzy Las Vegas casinos in sweatpants and flip-flops and carried his own drink into the high rollers area because he didn't want to tip the waitress too much. Friends, this was Stephen Paddock as he saw himself 4 years ago before he opened fire on a crowd of concert goers, killing at least 58 people in the worst mass shooting in modern American history. And the details I'm giving you are contained in a 97-page court deposition obtained by CNN. And in that deposition, which took place on October 29th of 2013, it was part of a civil lawsuit against the Cosmopolitan Hotel where Paddock slipped and fell on a walkway in the year 2011. What otherwise would have been probably perceived as just mundane proceedings does offer a little bit of fresh details about Paddock's life and habits. And these details are coming from the killer's own mouth. The document has been turned over to the FBI, according to sources that I have read about, and they are analyzing that document. In the document, in the deposition, Paddock talks about having no mental health issues, no history of addiction, no criminal record. He said that he was prescribed Valium for anxiousness by a Nevada internist named Stephen Winkler. But it's unclear, even to this day, how often he took the drug, but it's estimated that he had 10 to 15 pills remaining in a bottle that was supposed to contain 60 about a year and a half after he was prescribed it. So the indication would be that he didn't take the Valium very often. In the deposition, Paddock described himself as being something of a rolling stone who split his time between California, Nevada, Texas, and Florida, traveling maybe upwards of 3 weeks out of each month. And his de facto home was often one of the casinos where he would stay in rooms that were provided for him 95% of the time free. And hotels often provide free rooms and amenities to those that are big gamblers to entice them to come back and stay in their casinos. At the Cosmopolitan, which is the hotel where he slipped and fell and then later brought the lawsuit, he said he had opened a bottle of sake in his room, probably on the night that he slipped and fell, but did not drink much of it. In the deposition, a lawyer asked him to explain why he would open a beverage but not drink it. And in the deposition, Paddock said, you know, his room was comped, which means it was given to him free. So he said, I would open all sorts of things because it wasn't costing me anything. He described himself at one point as being, quote, the biggest video poker player, in the world. And he said later, at the height of his play, he would average 14 hours a day, 365 days a year, playing video poker. He went on and said this, I'd gamble all night, I sleep all day. He was asked in the deposition if he ever visited the hotel pool, and Paddock replied, I don't do sun, end quote. And at one point in the deposition, he mentioned that he gambled as much as $1 million a night and said that he frequently hired prostitutes. Now, the reason I'm going through all that, ladies and gentlemen, is this. There's a real disconnect, a further disconnect between what we are knowing and finding out about Stephen Paddock and what the media has told us up to this point with respect to what he did in Las Vegas, killing 58 people. If a man is staying up all night gambling and he's sleeping all day, Gary, how in the world is it possible for him to purchase the number of weapons that he purchased if he's basically living a life like a vampire? He's up all night, sleeping all day. This does not add up at all, and just further creates questions in my mind as to whether or not he was the lone shooter, whether or not he, as the authorities in Las Vegas continue to say, he had no help, he acted alone. Again, Gary, none of this makes sense.
Well, first of all, let me say, Dave, you know, he was quite a motley person, wasn't he? I mean, think about that. Average 14 hours a day gambling, 365 days a year, gambled all night, slept during the day. You know, you talk about addiction. He was addicted to gambling, if nothing else. I really don't feel sorry for him, but in the sense I feel sorry for the kind of a life that he lived. I mean, that's, to me, there's something else going on within that individual's life. It's a spiritual need, obviously. And I personally would not see how an individual could find any joy or peace in that kind of life. And that's my opinion. Of course, there may be more people out there that would say, oh, I could get along with that. Well, I don't know how I could do it, and that's just my opinion. But to answer your question, how would this individual be able to acquire the training to shoot like he did? I don't know how. I honestly don't know how his mind could be functioning properly to be able to, number one, understand the arms that he had in there, to be able to put up those various platforms so that he could get the right angle on shooting the people. I don't see how he was able to do this all of himself at all. And even though the authorities have not said so, I still believe in the back of my mind that he had help, whether that help was from ISIS or other people, I do not know. But I simply do not know how a man could do all that he did by himself, plus taking into consideration this great description that you've given about him. It just does not meet the bill of my thinking, Dave.
Well, Gary, it doesn't. And then something else came out late yesterday that is equally as troubling, and that is the timeline has totally changed. For a week and a half, we have heard from the Las Vegas police and from the authorities there that a Mandalay Bay security guard came up to the room after Stephen Paddock began his firing, which lasted about 10 minutes. And of course, Paddock had cameras there in the hallway. He saw, according to the authorities, this Mandalay Bay security guard approaching. He fired through the door, hit the security guard in the leg. And that's what ultimately brought all the police converging on his 32nd floor room and brought him down. Well, now, as of yesterday, the police chief there said, no, that's not right. The security guard was shot before, about 6 minutes before. The hail of bullets came out of that 32nd floor, two-bedroom room, and he started firing down on those concert goers. So everything, Gary, now is reversed. Let me ask you a question. It doesn't make sense to me. How would you shoot so accurately on people that are about 300 yards away and yet fire through a door? You're watching a guy approach the door on a camera you've got set up. How do you fire through the door and only hit him in the leg? And there were evidently multiple shots fired through the door, according to the authorities. How does all that happen? And you only hit him in the leg. Again, Gary, all of this just belies the facts that we know up to this point, I firmly am convinced he didn't do this by himself. He had to have some help with the training at the very least. Who did the training? Was it ISIS? Was it online training? Was there somebody personally that did it? How do you live the kind of lifestyle he lived, acquire the weapons, do what he did? It just doesn't make any sense at all. And ladies and gentlemen, what we need in this is the truth. And we're going to be talking about more of this tomorrow and over the duration of the week as more of this is analyzed. But Gary, could I ask you quickly, pray that the truth will come out, because that's what we desperately need.
Yes and amen, dear Lord. When we talk about everything that we've talked about on this particular program today, we see once again the truth is falling in the street. I pray that the truth about this situation in Las Vegas will come out, but beyond that, that people will turn to the truth, who is Jesus Christ, for their eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Friends, as we pray for the truth, you stand for the truth where you are, and join us 23 hours from now in our next installment of Stand in the Gap Today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.